the hardest job in all of this was to take all these wonderful letters, and the children had they had no problem. They knew exactly what they wanted to ask the Pope. They all just sat down and started writing and drawing. So we went through and we had a selection committee, and they gave us a sense of which ones really stood out for them between the question and the drawing. And so we picked a core group of 21, and then we added 20 more into a second binder. Pope Francis chose our 21 that we had suggested, and then he was enjoying himself so much he went on and did 9 more. The Pope would look at the letter, he'd read the letter, he'd look at the child's picture, and then he would look at their drawing, the drawing that they had made that accompanied their letter, and he would kind of look off into space and imagine the children, and it was as if he was talking to the child. Then when Pope Francis kind of zeroed in on it and knew what he wanted to say, he just basically dictated the response as if he was talking to the child.
Something that struck me is that these letters are from children in Muslim countries, in India, in China, and they know about the Pope. They wanted to write to the Pope.
What I picked up immediately was that there was a sense of trust, a sense of kind of devotion, and really a kindness in the children that they had toward Pope Francis.
So all of these children had some connection to a Jesuit-run school or a Jesuit-run parish around the world?
Or in one case, in Syria, it was their Jesuit refugee service outside Damascus.
Well, Tom, I'd like you to read me some of your favorite letters from the children and the Pope's response.
One of my favorites is from Judith, who is a 9-year-old from Belgium. Actually, her drawing became the cover of the book. She says, "Dear Pope Francis, what makes you happy in your work as Pope?" And she's got a picture of the Pope standing all in white with 3 children on either side of him, standing hand in hand with these children, and they're all smiling. They've got these amazing faces, and they're children from around the world. And so Pope Francis responded, "Dear Judith, it makes me happy to be with people. That is what makes me happy. If I cannot be with people, I spend time with Jesus and talk to him about people. I can't imagine myself alone. Judith, I like your drawing. I think of myself as you have drawn me, hand in hand with you and your friends. Being together with others brings me joy. And as the Pope, I think I ought to be with people." Francis.
Oh, that's great.
It captures his spirit, I think.
One that struck me, Tom, was by an American named William, who says to the Pope, "If you could do one miracle, what would it be?"
I find it very moving. In fact, I can barely read it without choking up. "Dear William, I would heal children. I've never been able to understand why children suffer. It's a mystery to me, and I don't have an explanation. I ask myself about this, and I pray about your question, why do children suffer? My heart asks the question. Jesus wept, and by weeping, he understood our tragedies. I try to understand too. Yes, if I could perform a miracle, I would heal every child. Your drawing makes me think. There's a big dark cross and a rainbow and the sunshine behind it. I like that. My answer to the pain of children is silence, or perhaps a word that rises from my tears. I'm not afraid to cry. You shouldn't be either. Francis."
Tom, would you finish up by reading the poem from the young man from the Syrian refugee camp?
This was Muhammad. He's 10 years old. He said, "Dear Pope Francis, will the world be again as it was in the past? Respectfully yours, Muhammad." Pope Francis responds, "Dear Muhammad, we believe that Jesus came to save us and that he has defeated the devil, but he also promised us that he would come back. We are waiting for him. And the Bible says that when he returns, everything will be new, a new heaven and a new earth. No, when that time comes, the world will not be as it was. It will be far better than it was in the past. In today's world, there is so much suffering, and unfortunately, you know that firsthand. There are those who manufacture weapons so that people fight each other and wage war. There are people who have hate in their hearts. There are people who are interested only in money and would sell everything for it. They would even sell other people. This is terrible. This is suffering. But you know, this suffering is destined to end. It is not forever. Suffering is to be lived with hope. We are not prisoners of suffering. It is just as you have expressed in your drawing, with the sun, the flowers, the trees, and your smile as you fly in the air playing ball. If we forgive one another, we will go to our future home, which will be very beautiful because it will be transfigured, completely transformed by the presence of God. Francis.
So he's really got quite a deep spiritual message there, not only for this child who has probably seen unthinkable situations, but for all of us.
I've noticed with Pope Francis from his first words in St. Peter's Square when he was first elected Pope, he speaks many levels at all times. He's so aware of all his audiences, and yet it's not like somebody just taking polls and changing their message depending on what the people want to hear. But he's always saying his message, and it goes to the highest theologians and the smallest children, and it's always done with respect. There's a simplicity to what he says and a profundity at the same time. It's really a gift, I believe, of the Holy Spirit to the church right now.
There's an interesting postscript to this story, and that is that the Pope actually met with a contingent of these children who had written the letters to him. He met them in Rome at the Vatican.
It was an amazing thing. Our president, Terry Locke at Loyola Press, had the idea one day that really to complete this project, to complete this conversation, it would be so wonderful if we could bring a few of the children to Rome. There was an immediate yes. And he gave us a date. And it turns out that it was a date that was typically the Pope's day off, the feast of the chair of St. Peter, February 22nd of this year. And he said, sure, we would love to have, you know, I'd love to meet them. It ended up we had 12 of the letter writers and then two siblings of children came along too. And we were all gathered in a room where there's the Pope usually meets heads of state. And the children were sitting on this beautiful oriental rug waiting. And in walks Pope Francis. And he smiles. He stands amidst them. And he holds out his arms. And the children ran to him. And he hugged them. They hugged him. They were all smiles. They were excited. And it was a beautiful thing. He sat down then, and they one by one came and brought, as they were introduced to Pope Francis, they brought a gift from their country. And it was funny when there was another boy, Ryan, who was from Canada, brought a big bottle in the shape of a maple leaf of maple syrup. And Pope Francis looked at it, read what it was, and he says, "Ooh, this is good." And the whole place bust out laughing. He asked questions, and then he said, "What do you want to ask me? Have you got more questions?" And they had more questions. And it was a lively conversation. It was like being at somebody's Thanksgiving table with Grandpa talking to all the kids. And I was able to bring to him all the letters that we had gathered, and I was able to let him know that these letters from 260 children from around the world, this is not just about their letters. These letters represent every child around the world, all of their hopes, all of their dreams, all their sorrows, all their despairs. They turn to you, Holy Father, and they turn to you in trust that you will see them and hear them. I was very deeply moved by this opportunity to actually have this encounter with him. I tell you, he looked at me with he had such joy for this because of this project. And he looked at me with an amazing sense of an unflinching gaze of blessing. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I'll never forget.
Tom McGrath is the Director of Trade and Parish Life Resources for Loyola Press in Chicago. Thanks, Tom, for bringing us this very uplifting story.
It's a light in the darkness, I think. Thank you, Judith.
I'm Judy Valente.